We've reached that juncture on a Thursday. We check in with that guy from the north. He's doing his thing these days. NBC Sports Northwest, talking Ducks with the trio of former Ducks. Find him on Xfinity Channel 737 in high def. It's been quite the eventful week, to say the least. Follow along on Twitter. The handle's at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are you today, sir?
Annoyed.
More so than usual?
No, that's all coaching search nonsense.
Yeah.
I swear, since... What's that? Today's Thursday.
Yeah, that's been tough to keep track.
Well, since last Thursday, actually since last Wednesday, I've been on some type of nonstop coach watch. Which involves constant texting and calling and posting and tweeting and all sorts of crazy nonsense. I think I'm hitting the wall.
And by the way, I don't think you're alone. It's been exhausting. Just if you just pick it up from Monday, the fact that this is just Thursday, I'm going to need to see the tape because I don't know if I buy it. So, you know, we've seen quality coaches at places, I don't know, mid-majors, Louisville, basketball, football, leave to better their personal situation. It happens every year. And is there any logic to maybe fans of this program are a little more emotional or upset because this is brand new to them?
Well, yeah. Not only is it brand new, but it's a situation where, you know, Oregon feels like, when I say Oregon, I mean, you know, the people who work in the buildings, the fans feel like the Ducks have become such a marquee program that who would ever leave Oregon for another job? And so what Willie Taggart has done is he has said that he will step right over Oregon's, you know, head to get to somewhere else. But I think that's unfair to the situation. I don't think it's accurate. I truly believe that this is a situation where, I'm not saying he wouldn't have left for Miami or Florida or Alabama or LSU or some of the really super marquee places, you know.
Right.
But this was like the one. Like, if you ask Willie Taggart, if you could coach anywhere in America, where would it be? He would say Florida State. You know, and so, one, Florida State is a bigger program than Oregon, period. I know some fans on Twitter challenge me, but I think most get it.
Right.
You know, I would hope. But it's where he's from. And I just, you know, once that job came open, it was like, okay, it's over. Like, he's gone. And I'm not saying he handled it perfectly. Clearly, he did not. But the fact that he did leave after 1 year, I think you just have to suck it up and let it go and just be like, wow, that's just bad luck that job came open.
So let's go back, like, say, 3 weeks when you and I talked and we learned that the basketball program had landed Bol Bol. And the reports were he might become Oregon's first ever one and done. If I'd have said to you, Willie Taggart's going to be the first ever one and done, what do you think your reaction would have been?
It would have been that he would have gotten the Florida State job. You know, I mean, that's what it would have been. And I mean, I've said since they hired him, and I've told him, you will not finish your first contract. Like, either you'll get fired or you'll leave. You know, I mean, just how I felt about it. And if a Florida school came open, you would be gone. And he teased him and hawed about it with me, and I just rolled my eyes. Like, come on. You know, and then when this came open and I talked to him, I was like, so you're out of here. Well, not necessarily. I'm dude. He's like, well, I have to like the AD. I really like Mullins and Phil Knight. We got a great thing going here and a great recruiting class coming in. We got a great team, and it's not going to be that cut and dry. And I'm on the other line of the phone going, wait, what? Well, I'm sorry. Did you say something?
Did you say something about the athletic director?
I'm like, dude, come on. It's Florida State. And then, you know, there's a picture of him, a video of him, you know, yesterday hugging his mom. You know, his mom just lost
her husband.
You know, they would get her for 40 years or what have you. And he just passed away before the season started. And, you know, and she has plenty of family support down there. But, you know, her son and wife and grandkids are 3,200 miles away. I think she made one trip out.
Right.
Maybe two. I saw it once. I don't know if she made a second one. But to have him come back home, it's a huge deal. And you know, at the end of the day, it was what it is. It's unfortunate for Oregon, but I don't think it's the end of the world. Now, I wrote today that Oregon sort of got what they deserved. Everyone knows who follows me that I think Elvich and company got screwed last year, and this might be a little bit of karma come back to bite you. But you know, it's not the end of the world. They're going to find a good coach. And they're going to have a good season next year, and we'll see where they go beyond that.
Yeah, you know, along those lines, because that was one thing we were on the same page, that we were of the opinion, give that staff another year.
Right.
But is there any logic to you? You're saying karma, but once they made that decision to alter a 40-year course, they had to understand that this day was going to come where a guy was going to be here for a couple years, a few years, and then play the stepping stone game. But maybe
no,
they didn't expect it this quickly.
I don't think they did. I mean,
really?
Mullen said that he expected Taggart made a commitment, and he thought they were hiring someone who was going to be here. I mean, basically what you want as a program is you want this. You want someone who's going to come there and be there till you say go away.
Right.
that's what they all want. And that's why I laugh at the whole thing. That's why every time someone's like, what about loyalty? I'm like, loyalty? The number of conference championships, bowl game wins, and national championship appearances, you know, for the previous staff dwarfs the staff that's here. Like, it's like, there's no comparison for accomplishments, and Oregon blew them out after one losing season. Now you can say, oh, they lost the team and their locker room problems, whatever. Fine, whatever. That staff was more successful, and you fired them. You fired a head coach with 3 years left on his deal, right? And so to expect then that a coach is supposed to come in and go, oh, well, I'm committed to you until you fire me, it's just nonsense. The contract they gave Taggart, I was told, 60% guaranteed money, which means they made it nice and friendly so they have to blow them out after a few years. They'll have to pay them 60%. You know, so the commitment was there, but it's, you know, it's like anything else. The team always wants to control
right.
the pace of everything. And the bottom line is, if you're winning and you're doing great, we'll keep you. We'll keep paying you more money. If you start to lose, well, we're going to get rid of you. But sometimes coaches say, hey, if I can get more money over here, I'm going to go take it. And why shouldn't I? Because I know that you hired me just so you could fire me someday. And that's basically what happened.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's a good tidbit about the 60%. You know, the question that Taggart himself asked, why would he not be here next season? We now all know the answer. You know, Troy Dye, you know, was kind of pissed off on social media. But could he have been a little more, I don't know if forthright is the answer, but maybe not so challenging to the reporters asking what turned out to be really legit questions?
I believe he was being dishonest. And I think when you look at what Rob Mullen says, that he was told there was contact 30 on Thursday between Florida State and Taggart. Taggart said yesterday during his press conference that Florida State reached out to him on Thursday. Yet on Friday, he told the media that he hadn't heard from Florida State at the press conference, right?
Right.
He told me that morning when I talked to him that he hadn't heard from Florida State yet. He told me on Saturday he hadn't heard from Florida State. He told me on Sunday he hadn't heard from Florida State. And it wasn't until Monday that he said, yeah, he heard from Florida State late Sunday night and they were going to meet Monday, right? But then it comes out later that they had heard. So, you know, obviously he was not being completely 100% honest. Now, you know, I didn't talk to him yesterday, and I reached out a little bit to him today via text, and he's maintaining he didn't lie. And I said, well, you've got some splaining to do, Lucy.
Oh, man.
Hopefully I'll talk to him in the next couple of days. Rest assured, everyone listening, I am going to challenge him as to what he means by he didn't lie. And the thing is, forget the media. Like, to me, if he lies to the media, yeah, you shouldn't do it. It makes you look disingenuous, but fine. You know, who are we? We're the scum of the earth, right? It's lawyers than us. So, you know, that's fine. You want to lie to us, lie to us. But the fact that kids are running around and parents are running around kind of saying that he was being dishonest, that's what that.
So I get we sit here now. It's December 7th. It's still emotional for fans and many around the program. But outside the bubble, that perception of Duck football is different. We've used the word stepping stone. So in moving forward, how important is it to realize, you know, what the true level this program exists at as they make this next hire?
Well, maybe this was a wake-up call in some regards. I mean, although I do think it was a special case. You know, a hometown kid going back to
baseball. Absolutely.
You know, but, you know, let's say, so my top three choices that I listed were Wilcox, Cristobal, and Sumlin. So Cristobal slash Leavitt. When I wrote it, there were reports out that Leavitt was already gone. So I would say Cristobal slash Leavitt, whichever one you wanted to pick, right?
Right.
Obviously, there's continuity there. You can maybe keep some other parts of the staff. Maybe you keep most of the recruiting class, which is kind of dropping a little bit. It hasn't fallen off yet, but it's gone from like 6th to 9th, I think, in some of the rankings. And then Sumlin is the biggest name other than Les Miles. We could say, wow, that would be that's a legit name. You're getting a pretty successful coach from the SEC who's an offensive guru, has coached the Heisman winner before. But to me, he looks like the type of guy that would, yeah, great, I'll rebuild my career at Oregon. But if I win 10 games the next 2 years and a bigger program comes looking for me, I'm out. Like, he's gone. I just believe he would be gone. Now, the reason why I rank Wilcox number one is because I'm sort of looking at him as Taggart light, in that he hasn't quite accomplished as much as Taggart yet, but he seems to have the something going for him to where you could project out and say, you know, this guy's going to be a pretty damn good coach, and he's your reverse, you know, he's your Taggart in reverse. He is tied to Oregon. His dad played there, Hall of Famer, brother, his uncle, he played there. I could see Wilcox, if he came to Oregon, if he's having success, and they keep paying him more and more because he's having success, he's not going to sit around, wake up one day and go, LSU's open. You know,
right.
Texas is open, right? So for me, I would go in that direction if there was mutual interest. And they could give it easily because he's only making, I think his contract's 9.8 over 5 years. So you throw $3 million at him, or even $2.5 million a year, maybe you get him.
And then, of course, what's the best part about that? All the Oregon fans screaming about loyalty, but it's okay if Wilcox goes for a one-and-done down in Cal.
Exactly. And here's the other thing that's funky about this to me is that, and again, you know, whenever I say this, I mean some of the Plant fans, I don't mean all, but a lot of the fans who've been clamoring for a big name, they're going to look at Wilcox and go, ew. You know, like, that's the best we could do, Justin Wilcox? It's like, dude, that's one of your guys. That's one of your peeps. That's a homegrown guy who played at Oregon, who's a legacy guy. Like, his dad is a Hall of Famer. Like, you should be excited about that and hope he blows up. Maybe he's, you know, maybe you're buying Google at $5 a share. I don't know. You know what I mean, who knows what he's going to become? I mean, look, everyone freaks out about Leavitt. Oh, my God, Leavitt. Well, the Ducks last year allowed 41 points per game. Cal allowed 42. And both programs, Cal and Oregon, got down to 28. So they both pretty much had the exact same impact defensively. Wilcox is a defensive guy on their respective teams. Now, Oregon has way more offensive firepower than Cal did. So Oregon's offense was better than Cal, except for when Burmeister was playing, then Cal's offense was better. But you give Wilcox 40 points per game with Herbert, Wilcox has a chance to win 10 games because he will keep that defense tight.
Well, by the way, our comparison yesterday was Microsoft in 84, but I do like the Google at 5. All right.
I'm not even sure if Google was ever 5 or not. I just throw that out.
No, but I get the theory there.
I've been known
to invest a few bucks here and there.
Nice.
I got to hit you with an NFL thought. Because that Monday game was nuts. There's been fallout. I like what Mike Mitchell of the Steelers said. A lot of people said it was a rant. I thought he was actually passionate, pretty insightful. You know, Gronkowski post-play loses his mind versus the heat of the action, you know, beyond making the game safer. How important is it, first of all, that they figure out how to dole out punishment properly?
All right. First of all, I just told you I spent the last 7 days knee deep in Tiger stuff. You think I watched Monday Night Football?
Well, but you also work in media. They've been hitting the only other story that they've been hitting us over the head with is this. I've seen that rant like a bunch of times.
I honestly have no clue.
Oh, okay. So you've been doing your job? What the hell's that all about?
I absolutely apologize. Like when you started talking about, I'm like, Gronkowski, Steelers, what?
Wow.
I apologize.
No, that's cool.
No, seriously, that's all I've been doing.
Since Wednesday, huh?
I'm at dinner with my phone. I guess like, bloop, 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 bloop. I'm reading texts. I'm texting people. My wife's looking at me funny. I'm like, I'm working, baby. I'm working.
Wow.
So,
eight straight days of the Oregon coaching search. You know, I know you talk to people, and I know this is speculation, but one of the questions we've been getting is, Are they just going to let this thing play out through the bowl game? Or if you had to bet, would you say there's a decision made within 9 days or immediately after the Vegas Bowl?
No, everything I'm hearing is that they're trying to move fast on this, and it could happen any time between now and the bowl game. Like, I would be shocked if this wasn't done before the weekend starts, like, based on what I'm hearing. Like, they're not trying to mess around with this. They need to get someone in and have that person start hiring a staff and have that person jump on recruiting. You got to try and keep this class, man. You got to get someone in, and then they got to spend the next week running around the country begging people to stay committed. So I think they're going to move fast on this. I think it's going to be pretty quick.
All right.
Stay tuned.
We'll get together as far as the NFL and the NBA when you get something else on your plate there. But, hey, good stuff. Always appreciate your insight, and I hope you get some downtime soon.
I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks.
Take it easy.